Welcome back, everyone. It is officially race week. Maybe not the most exciting race week of the calendar, but it is always cool going to Australia, and I am glad it's back after that short period that we lost it during COVID. But yeah, if you are here, if you're new here, first and foremost, make sure you subscribe. But if you are here, comment, like, and subscribe if you're not already. But if you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any other platform out there, make sure you do give us 5 stars. It really helps out the podcast, so we really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone that commented last week. You see, I said we loved the comments. We had a lot of comments.
We did.
People getting involved. So yeah, shout out to that. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Just search Racecast and use your initiative. You will find us. And if you can't find us, it's a sign. But yeah, we're going to crack on, and because there's so much to talk about, so stick around.
All right, guys, welcome along to another episode of Racecast. As Luke said, it is race week. Before we get into talking about Australia, we've got a few things to discuss, a few little stories. But before we get into that, can we just say this weekend, yesterday, it was Sunday as we're filming at the moment, we had a bit of fun, didn't we, on PlayStation?
I don't have a PlayStation.
Okay, online gaming, we had a bit of fun, didn't we?
Yeah, so we put on the Instagram, basically, we just wanted a little race on F1 2022, just to be specific, the game. So we put on Instagram, come and join us. We had a full lobby of, some of them were racers.
Yeah.
Some of them were some form of terrorists, kamikazes. There was a lot of safety cars.
So we touch on one of the races we did was Monza. Okay. It was wet. It was like pure wet. Mm. And after lap six, no, I don't even think it was lap six. We were down to 9 cars out of 22.
No, 20. There's only 20 cars on the F1 grid.
But on this one, we had 22 in the...
You can have 22 people in the lobby. I don't think you can actually have...
Okay, 20 then. Sorry, 20 then. Fine.
22 cars. Who was the extra team? Benetton, was it? Jaguar? Jordan, they come back?
He's such a dick.
Drive to Survive.
Oh, move on. But it was good. It was good fun.
Yeah.
I scored points.
By default.
Well, still scored points.
You bottled it.
I finished, though. Yeah, I did.
Basically, yeah, but just to not brag, but just to be open, I did win 3 out of the 4 races.
Yeah,
and the only one I didn't win was Monza, and that's because out of nowhere, I don't know if you played the game, it's so buggy. I was just driving along, and I got a drive-through penalty for speeding under safety car, which my delta was absolutely fine. So don't understand that. Didn't win it, but. That's fine. It is what it is.
It was decent. It was more fun than playing with the AIs.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, weirdly, although I always slate the AI, feel safer around them. But we will continue to do it. We'll do some more, you know, every week because it is good fun. All you got to do is add Matt on...
PlayStation.
Well, add it on. Obviously, it's cross-platform, so on EA. Yeah, so just DM us on Instagram and we can get you involved, and then, you know, we'll let you know whenever we're playing. But yeah, no, it is quite good. It's funny.
Safety car every race?
I might have to turn the safety car off because you end up spending most of the time just driving behind the safety car.
I quite like the safety car because I'm normally at the back.
Yeah,
so if I get a safety car, it then brings me back into the race. So in Brazil, I was buzzing. I was P19. Safety car comes out. Before you know it, there's another crash on the restart, which was Andy, took out like majority of them. I was down to P6.
Up to P6. What I like is how, like, in Portugal, when you were P3, weren't you?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you quickly made your way to the back. You had like 4 incidents in like one sector.
Two laps. I had
every
single
time. It was someone else's fault, not yours. Look,
you look at what it says afterwards about incidents.
Don't even give me incidents.
None of them were my fault.
You know,
it says collision with MJ.
I got a 5-place grid penalty when we were qualifying around Miami the other day because I spun, right? on a hot lap.
Yeah.
Tsunoda drove into me while I was spinning, and I got a five-place grid penalty.
Sounds like your fault.
How is that fair? Why is he not slowing under yellows? I'm not going to go into it, but I lost my head a little bit.
But it is good fun.
Yeah, so that's why you should follow us on Instagram. And not least, we are also doing a live stream for Australia, the race on the Sunday.
That was so smooth.
What do you mean?
The race, Australia, Sunday.
No, I said Australia, the race.
Race Sunday, Sunday. Yeah. You said it so slowly.
That's when it is. 6 a.m. So, you know, follow us, be there. Because why not? It's a bit shit waking up at 6 a.m., sitting in silence, watching the race on your own, because you're probably going to be tired, maybe even hungover. So why not come and join the boys?
Are you going out the night before?
Nah, I won't go out until I go away now.
2 weeks?
Yep, 2 weeks today. So remember also, we will talk about like interesting stuff in a second. Next week is the last episode for, I guess, a month.
Yeah.
Due to the fact that I'm away for a month, so can't really help it. Would love to be here. No, I wouldn't. That's a lie. But I'd rather be away is what I'm trying to say.
You're going Butlins, aren't you?
Yeah, kind of. So yeah, I'll see you when I'm back. Well, I'll see you next week, but just so I'd update. You know, some people probably don't know. You might turn up in 3 weeks' time and be like, what the fuck, where's the podcast? Probably not many people are going to think that, but that's fine.
But even more reason to follow our Instagram, because we will give you updates. I'm sure Luke will post a few bits while he's away, like giving us updates on where he is.
Do you know the annoying thing?
Yeah.
If I'd gone like a week and a half earlier, I would have been in Melbourne for the Grand Prix.
Yeah, poor organisation there.
That is annoying.
Would you have gone?
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, yeah, that's poor planning.
Not my
fault. Did you book this?
Ruth couldn't get the time off.
Oh, I see, okay.
For like now, that's her only time off.
But you could have gone without her.
Yeah, well, I do not want to do a 24-hour flight or 25-hour flight on my...
Were you first class?
No.
Business?
No. Bucket and spade.
Bucket.
But what I'm hoping is that it's like quite an empty flight and I'll just like cop a row and lay down.
The difficulty is we're both quite tall. Well, we are tall. So who are you flying with?
Malaysia. So, I mean, if we're not back in a month, it's because I've gone missing. Or I've been shot down by Russian militants.
How did we even get onto that? I only asked you who you're flying with.
Do you know what? Surely you've watched...
Yeah, I've watched the Netflix series.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we didn't have to get into that. I was just like...
Well, I just wanted to, you know, if I do go missing... You can have absolutely fuck all from my house.
Why?
You can take this shit out of my property so my parents don't have to deal with it when I'm dead.
Well, that's a bit extreme. But I mean, if you get stuck in Australia, can I have your TV and your computer screen?
If I just got stuck somewhere.
You can come back. Anyway, let's move on. So, F1 news. Fancy some F1 news? Is that why you're here?
I genuinely, right?
Not much has happened this week.
I was going to say, it's been an uneventful week for race fans. There's been like the odd, I know you'll get into whatever, but there's been like the odd whisper of like, oh, trouble at Red Bull. Mercedes are bringing upgrades. Oh, Lewis Hamilton is going to Ferrari again. The same sort of like...
It's the same story.
It's very recycled stuff.
So I've got a couple of things we can discuss. As you said, not much has happened. But Toto Wolff delivers a lengthy timeline for Mercedes to finally catch up to Red Bull.
Lengthy?
Yeah. When I read this, it made me quite sad. So how long do you think he has said it will take for Mercedes to catch up with Red Bull?
Well, if I'm thinking like genuinely, realistically, it's probably at least 2 seasons.
Okay. So he said it would take up to a year for Mercedes to catch up with Red Bull after they started the 2023 season well off the pace.
Oh, you know, I can take that.
Really? Do you think? I mean,
if I can watch this season with a Mercedes that is improving.
Yeah.
But like genuinely improving, not like last year where we had like, oh my God, the bouncing's gone. And look, we're getting P5, P6. that's what we're getting with the bouncing. So that's not improvement. But if you see like genuine improvement where it's like, okay, this car is A, consistent, because that was one of the biggest problems with it. B, it does actually look good. And C, the drivers are like, yeah, like this is definitely moving in the right direction. Then I can tolerate it.
But we started to see that towards the tail of last season.
I'm not sure if we truly did. In Brazil,
you know, Abu Dhabi, before Lewis retired, he was quite competitive up there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like...
I don't think they were ever closing the gap to the Red Bull.
No, yeah.
I get your point. But also Ferrari were having issues. They had... I don't know what went on with the Ferrari at the end of last season. I really don't know what's happening with them now. But yeah, I do feel like it was... I feel like it was false progress. Well, like, at the end of the day, taking a shit car to a less shit car, in my opinion, is not progress.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't really matter. If your car's shit, what's the point in having a less shit car if it's still shit?
Yeah.
We need to see, like, genuine progress where the car becomes good. They actually get closer to Red Bull. And I'm not expecting them to... be able to challenge a Red Bull at all this season, and like I say, I can live with that, but I need to see them eking a little bit closer.
So you basically,
and they definitely got to be able to jump the Aston at some point.
Yeah. So for you, this season is not a write-off as such, but you're just expecting to see progression.
Yeah, it's a write-off for the World Championship.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm kind of okay with that. In an ideal world, they would have come to the season with a car that was competent and capable of winning a world championship. In a perhaps less ideal, but more ideal than the realistic scenario, they would be able to actually catch up with the Red Bull when they bring this new concept, major upgrades. But being realistic, so long as they're pushing in the right direction and have a really strong winter development, then I think, yeah, they can come into next season and compete.
So this is what he said. I think the length of time is probably between 6 and 12 months, because that's the time that it really took us for last year to figure out what was actually happening with the car. One thing I'll take from that is they still don't get this car, do they?
Yeah.
From those comments is they had all of last year to go, okay, what is this car? What is the concept? How are we going to improve this? And they're still coming into this season going, I don't actually fully understand it.
Yeah,
that's a bit of a worry, because you have some of the best people there and they're still struggling with it.
It's quite concerning to be like over a year into a relationship with this like concept of a car and to still not understand it. And you know, what's even more annoying is they spent 50% of last season, like after the race, like, oh, we understand the car so much more now, like we know what to do. And then they'd be fine for like a race and then they'd go to a different type of track and they'd be like, we just don't understand it. So like, if we're still at that stage, how are we taking any steps forward?
Yeah.
Because why are they fundamentally not understanding the car? I'm not saying like, well, come on, it's easy, guys, just understand it. But like, it is their job and they should be able to get to the bottom of it a lot quicker than it has taken.
Yeah, no, I agree.
In my opinion.
He's also said that means we just need to have double the development speed, so a stronger development slope. The logic and rationale speaks for that for Red Bull. Their gains are going to be incrementally smaller if the concept is mature. I think aero-wise and with a wind tunnel time, that can help a bit, but not hugely. It's just we've just got to get on our act together and get on top of this car and fundamentally understand what this car needs from us and what we need for the car to do. I mean, you need the car to be fast.
And
I can tell you what you need the car to do.
A little bit confused.
Yeah.
Are they not changing the concept?
Well, yeah.
So, surely they don't need to understand that car. Do you get my point?
I get your point, yeah.
It's like, well, I thought you had got a new concept that you do understand, and we're just going to push forward in that direction.
Yeah.
Why are we still trying to fuck that one? Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Take it down. I'll drive it down there, mate. We'll get rid of it.
I just think if it is worrying, well, I say worrying, it's not worrying, it's not, I mean, it's not the end of the world, is it? But it's concerning that this team, with the, you know, the history, what they've experienced over the last, you know, 7-8 years, the dominance they had before coming into this new era, and now they're struggling to go, oh, do you know what? I have no idea what this car does.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
It's like it makes you think, like, were the last 8 years just luck?
Well,
did, I mean, you know, did they just hit the nail on the head and they're like, hey, that worked?
Well, are we seeing what Red Bull seem to have nailed it? You know, they've come into this new era, and fair play to Red Bull, because they showed, obviously, in 21, their dominance was coming back. They started putting in good performances. They were dominant. They obviously won the world title. And then they've come into this year, 2022 last year and this year, and they've just continued getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah. No, they have. They're, and obviously you can't, everyone knows what a good job they've done.
Mm.
But we talked about, you know, Mercedes issues. I would be more worried as a Ferrari fan, personally, because I think Mercedes just haven't taken a step forward, but Ferrari have taken steps back.
Yeah.
And that's more concerning, in my opinion, because that shows there's a real, like, fundamental error. They've actually tried to do something and they've made the car worse. But, like, yeah, not just slightly worse, they've now made it a bad car. When it was unbelievable, I remember, like, particularly Australia last year, actually. That's one thing that sticks in my mind. How good it looked on track in the corners.
Yeah.
It was, like, stuck to the floor. And, yeah, I just don't... You don't see... You haven't seen that this year. It'll be interesting to see it, yeah, actually, at Australia this weekend, because it did look so good last year. But, yeah, I would... I'd be an angry Ferrari fan right now.
Let's just hope Carlos Sainz doesn't go off after lap one like he did last year into the gravel.
Yeah, he's... I don't know if you're keeping up to date with Ferrari Twitter.
No.
He's not having a good time at the moment. He's not... He's not their number one fan.
I don't think he was... What? Carlos Sainz isn't the Ferrari's number one fan. How did you word that?
He's not their star man.
Yeah.
They're not big fans of him.
We discussed this last year, didn't we? Fans don't seem to have taken to him. He's not like the poster boy of, like, Charles Leclerc, is he? And I don't know whether that's... See, I like Carlos Sainz. I think he looks like quite a cool guy. But for some reason, he hasn't fitted the mould of a Ferrari driver since he's been there, if that makes sense. He hasn't really...
Yeah, but I definitely feel like this has been kind of a long-term thing at Ferrari, where they've always had, like, a star man.
Yeah.
So,
like, the Michael Schumacher, you know, Rubens Barrichello, you know, that type of...
Yeah. And then they had Massa. He was their, like, star man. Obviously, they had, well, Kimi for a bit.
Yeah.
Alonso. Yeah, Alonso.
Vettel.
Seb. And then Charles came in and, you know, I mean, he even took that sort of star man thing from Seb. So it's, I feel like it is a culture thing at Ferrari. But I can also understand it from, they're probably thinking, like, well, Charles does always look quicker than Carlos.
Yeah.
So it must be quite frustrating, especially last season when part of the reason they did drop the ball so early on is because Sainz was making mistakes.
Yeah.
So
you saw mistakes in Miami, didn't you? You saw mistakes in Australia.
I mean,
very early on last year. You know, and it started really positive, obviously, in Bahrain. I know Red Bull had the double DNF, but, you know, Sainz, Leclerc, was it a 1-2 in Bahrain, the beginning of 2022?
Yeah. Sainz was well off the pace there.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you know, Max and Charles were fighting. And same with Perez, but I feel like the expectations are a bit different, and maybe that's easier when you've got, like, someone that you know is 100% capable of competing for a world championship. Like Max, he's already won a world championship. Or Lewis. It didn't necessarily bother you that, say, like, Bottas wasn't constantly getting P2 because you just knew Lewis was getting P1 and that was fine. And it's the same with Max, where it's like, you know, we hope Perez does well, but like with Max fans. Whereas Ferrari, it's very different. It's like, no, we are diehard Ferrari.
Yeah, they're very much like...
I feel like they are the only... They're the only team that genuinely have diehard fans of the team.
Oh, what, Ferrari fans?
Yeah, because you know we say it's more like... It is a team sport, but you follow a driver. But I feel like Ferrari is actually...
It's the whole package.
The only exception.
Yeah.
Where, like, actually Ferrari have diehard fans. And that, you know that, and I mean that as like a more so than any other team.
But that's why people loved, you know, although Michael Schumacher was a dominant one, they loved Rubens Barrichello for what he did to support, and he still delivered and he still brought stuff to the table.
But that's what I mean when they maybe look at Sainz and think, well, actually he's not as good as we need him to be. Yeah. I'm not saying he's not capable of being that good, but I don't think he's shown that he is as good as Charles. And I think at Ferrari, it is expected that they need both drivers to be putting in a shift.
Which is interesting, though, because when you look back at Carlos Sainz, even when his McLaren times, and he was in, obviously, with Renault, there was even question marks about whether he deserved his seat then. And he obviously went to McLaren. He did great at McLaren. And then obviously...
He still finished behind Lando, though, did he not? In 2020,
I'll pull up the table. I don't think. I think it was close. 2020.
But then 2021 did come as a shock because he did finish ahead of Charles.
Right. No, Carlos Sainz was in P6 with McLaren. Lando was in P9. I thought he was ahead. Yeah. Interestingly, Danny Ric was in P5 with Renault. Perez that year, obviously, I forget Perez with Racing Point P4.
Yeah.
Mental.
That was a good car.
It was,
Pink Mercedes.
But you look at this, Charles Leclerc down in P8 with Ferrari.
That Ferrari was fucking shite.
It was bad. Where's the other Ferrari?
It's Seb. He had an even worse season.
Down in P13, I remember. Christ, only 33 points.
That's the thing also, right, as a Ferrari fan, so many years of
hurt,
frustration.
Yeah.
And then 2022 comes, you're like, fuck, we've got a good car here. We're actually going to compete.
Yeah.
And then they absolutely bottle it. I mean...
And then you come into 2023 and this car seems to be going backwards.
Yeah.
It's still very early to say with the Ferrari, because obviously I'm still expecting them to... But it is concerning when the Ferrari were so dominant last year. And when I mean dominant, they had a car that could win every race if they hadn't had the muck-ups.
Yeah, and I feel the only thing that really initially pulled the Red Bull into it was the fact that it was Max Verstappen driving it.
If that makes sense. I agree with you. Max is a difference, isn't he? He is a difference when it comes to it.
And apart from now, where, like, you know, I think you could stick Max in any car and he wouldn't catch that Red Bull.
No, that Red Bull's a joke.
So it really has pulled away.
Yeah. Other news, Eddie Jordan has come out and said, I actually blame Fernando Alonso for not winning more titles. He's actually
come out with some strange opinions this week.
He has. He said, I remember seeing Fernando Alonso pass Michael Schumacher from the outside on a damp track on a really difficult corner in Suzuka. And I said, oh my God, how can he get away with that? Alonso pulled a move and I thought from then he was destined for greatness. He then said, I actually blame him for not winning 4, 6, maybe 7, becoming 8-time world champion. He should have picked his teams better. This is quite interesting because he said... in his 30s, Alonso went for the money when he could have gone a different route. Now he's come back to the understanding that he has a team around him that has enough to make the car finish well, but he won't win. He won't beat the Red Bulls. What's your take on that?
I think everyone knows that not that Alonso has handled his career badly, but he's perhaps acted wrong in a few situations. It's difficult, isn't it? Because he, you know, he had a really dominant car at Renault. Renault was, it was really good. And don't get me wrong, he drove it ridiculously. But then, you know, he went to McLaren, which was, you know, probably the best car.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kimi won the championship. It's just, I feel like, yeah, he's made wrong decisions, and then it's led to him, like, you know, ending back at McLaren when they were terrible.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of, it's that thing of like, oh, well, now he is getting older. Is he good enough anymore? And then he ends up, you know, going to like an Alpine who, you know, no disrespect, they're not competing or anything. And then even a move to Aston Martin is a risk because look at them last season. It was terrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would agree, but so I don't think I'd agree fully because look, right, over the last, take out last season, over the 8 seasons before that, Mercedes won 8 Constructors' Championships. They won 7 World Drivers' Championships. You know, Max Verstappen won one of them. Lewis Hamilton won 6 of those, with Nico Rosberg winning one of them. You know, unless Fernando Alonso, I know there's a bit of a gap here, but again, unless he had gone to Red Bull and then gone to Mercedes, was there much chance that he was ever going to win? And, you know, I know at Ferrari in 2011, he was particularly close to winning the championship.
Yeah.
But, yeah, then he would have had to make the move to Mercedes. I just feel like it's so easy to say that, oh, you know, he should have 8, 9, 10 World Drivers' Championships. You could probably say that about quite a few drivers.
Yeah.
That maybe, some of them would have just messed up their careers. Some of them simply just didn't get the car because, you know, Mercedes can't have 5 drivers.
No.
Or Red Bull, was Seb was there, couldn't have 4 drivers. Just like Red Bull now can't have more than 2 drivers.
I think it's interesting, isn't it? I think when you're looking back at someone's career, I think whenever you win any title, that is an achievement in itself because these seasons are...
He won 2 back-to-back.
He won 2 back-to-back. So regardless of whether he could have won 6 or not, I think is irrelevant because I think he's a driver who is a deserved world champion. He showed his quality over the years. Obviously, he left Renault, went to McLaren. Him and Hamilton had beef and...
You can talk about his career choices there. He had a car that was capable of winning a world championship there. Yeah. I mean, him and Hamilton were like only a few points off Kimi.
But even after that, he had offers from Red Bull, but he went back to Renault.
So he got the offer from Red Bull, didn't he?
If I remember correctly, he did have offers to go to Red Bull. And this is obviously before the dominance of Seb.
So that here's the thing also, right? With hindsight, it is all well and good saying this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
How is Fernando Alonso meant to know that Red Bull are going to produce a ridiculous car, not that season, not the season after, but the season after that?
Yeah.
And then it's going to dominate for the next 4 years until reg changes come in. You know, it's like, and this doesn't discredit Lewis Hamilton at all, because I still believe that you have to be the best driver. But, you know, he made the risk going to Mercedes.
You make your own luck.
And it paid off. Yeah. I don't think, you know, Fernando chose to go back to Renault, who had proven they could build a championship winning car, instead of going to, like, say, if the rumours were true, instead of going to a team like Red Bull, who in 2008 wouldn't have even won a race.
No.
And they would have were only in the sport for, like, 4 years at that point.
Yeah. I think it's very difficult because obviously you saw what Red Bull went on to do in the 2010 era and stuff with Seb and that. But yeah, you don't know, do you? You go by what you think is the best team at that time.
Yeah, because here's the thing, right? If Renault had produced a car that was good and Red Bull had not, everyone would have been like, see, look, Fernando knew what he was talking about. It's thank God he rejected that Red Bull deal.
Interestingly, he actually, when he went back to Renault, he was ninth in the driver standings. But then after that, he got his, you know, his call up to Ferrari. He went to Ferrari. And when you say you look at career choices, he hasn't done bad by this point. He's been at Renault, he's been at Mercedes, and now he's going to Ferrari. If you're looking at those career choices, and regardless of what... Sorry?
Mercedes.
McLaren, sorry. Sorry, did I say Mercedes?
You did.
Sorry, okay. Let's rephrase that. From a career choice point of view, Alonso went to Renault, he then went to McLaren, back to Renault, and then he went to Ferrari. So from a career choice point of view, regardless of whether Eddie Jordan says, oh, he could have picked his choices better, he's going to top teams who he would expect to win championships with.
Let's not forget, he went to Renault, where he won two back-to-back championships.
Yeah.
He then went to McLaren, where he competed for a championship. Lewis scared him out of the team.
Yeah.
He then went back to Renault, who, you know, a few seasons back had won back-to-back championships. Yeah. He then went to Ferrari, who are Ferrari. Do you know what I mean? It's like, he couldn't have picked a lot better.
Then he went back to McLaren.
Yeah, who's granted where they were in a bad
that
way.
That horrible orange. Like
orange and black.
Do you
McLaren.
Remember? Yeah, like...
It wasn't the nice orange that we've got.
No,
now.
It was rank.
But yeah, I think it's easy to say that now, looking back over someone's career. But, you know... It's just bad timing.
Yeah. And, you know, even now, he went to Alpine. They finished, like, what, P4 went last year.
Yeah, that was probably the best available seat to him because there was nothing available at Ferrari.
No.
Nothing available. Well, that fit in with their plan. We know that Ferrari have got the two younger drivers. We knew that George Russell was Bottas's replacement at Mercedes. Yeah. And Perez and Max, you know, is locked in till 2024. So I think it all kind of made sense. And I think at that point, Red Bull weren't going to get someone like Alonso in the car anyway.
No. And then he's chosen someone like Aston Martin, where actually...
On paper is a terrible choice, by the way. Just, you know, if Eddie Jordan wants to talk about bad career moves, Alpine to Aston Martin is a shocking career move on paper. Obviously, it's not panned out that way.
No.
But I can guarantee if Fernando Alonso went to Eddie Jordan before that move and he was like, hey, do you reckon I should go from Alpine to Aston Martin? He would have said, are you stupid?
Yeah.
But I bet now he's like, oh, yeah, you know, great, great career choice.
He's had two back-to-back podiums in 2023 already, so...
It's just hindsight, isn't it? It's so easy to think that, like, oh, you know, I would have done it this way and done that. Well, yeah, because now you know what you should have done.
A lot of it is luck. In the sense of where you end up. You know, Max Verstappen was in Toro Rosso. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
If for any reason, he may have stayed there for longer. I know the sister team and stuff, but he could have maybe gone to a different team.
Like Ferrari might have come in for him and he could have been lured into that. And then it's like, you know, on paper, would that have been a bad decision? Because at the time, the Ferrari was more competitive than the Red Bull, but he could have gone to Ferrari, never won anything, maybe the odd race here and there.
But
then whoever filled that Red Bull seat would now be winning the championship.
But then you're going to see it, aren't you, with all drivers at the moment, with their decisions. You know, as we said earlier, Lewis from McLaren to Mercedes on paper would have been the wrong choice. You've gone Piastri, who was with Alpine, in theory, on paper, would be the best team to go with. But he jump shipped and went to McLaren. So will that pay off? You don't know. And it is literally luck with a bit of, you know, you've got your skill, but it's luck whether you go to a team who are actually performing.
And I'm sure, obviously, the team internally know more about what the car is looking like, but you don't know what the next team's is looking like. You know, they might be like, yeah, we're going to be competing next season. We found a second. Well, the other two teams have found a second and a half. Do you know what I mean? So... You know, you might think you're going to be competing, but you know, I'm sure none of the teams come into the season thinking like we're going to be right at the back.
Yeah, exactly. You look at Jenson Button with Braun. What a great choice.
Yeah, but what a terrible move.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, like, why would you do that?
There's so many things where you look at and you question, why are they going there? But, you know, they obviously know. As you know, when Alonso went last year, we were like, what is he doing?
You can probably go back through the episode. We probably slated him.
Yeah.
You know, we're the opposite of Eddie Jordan.
Yeah.
We will accept that we, you know, you don't know at the time. No. You just got to call it how it is.
Let us know what your thoughts are. What do you agree with Eddie Jordan? Right. Next question before we get on to Australia. Is Sergio Perez a genuine world championship contender this year?
No. No. That is no disrespect to Perez. That's just respecting Max Verstappen, essentially. I'd love it. Don't get me wrong, look, right. If the Red Bulls are going to run away with it, at least give us a Lewis and Nico situation.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it's getting... Red Bull are trying to dampen this down, right? But I think
very
we can all
heavily
see
dampen it down, yeah.
That there's some fraying appearing here. And, you know, that became clear when Perez was a little bit confused over the fastest lap thing. And then Horner was on, like, he was on some TV show this week, wasn't he?
He was, yeah, talking about, he was asked a question about Hamilton.
Yeah, which we'll get on to.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was saying, like, no, you know, we've got a really good team. The guys get on really well, etc. And it's like, I understand he's got to come out and say that. He can't be like, nope, they fucking hate each other.
Well, he basically said both drivers know what Red Bull's targets are for this year, and they're both heavily invested in making sure we reach those.
I don't really think Max Perez wants Max to win the championship. That would be Red Bull's goal, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I swear to God, like, they would much rather Max win it.
I think
that's, like, common knowledge.
Yeah, right? I don't think... If
Perez starts winning races, all of a sudden components of his are going to start breaking.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Let me know, guys, okay? And I know this may sound a bit stupid. Do you think Red Bull, come the end of the season, Sergio Perez is crowned world champion? Deep down, do you think they would be disappointed? And do you think they would class it as a failure of a season if it wasn't Max winning the championship?
Do you know what the biggest thing I think is? They'd be worried that Max is now thinking, like, well, why did the team not make me win?
Yeah.
And that they'll be worried that Max will maybe get lured somewhere else where, like, don't worry, Max, we're going to treat you as number one. Here, we wouldn't let that happen.
Do you generally think that's the case, that they have... Christian Horner is so worried about the happiness of Max Verstappen, and that's way more important than the happiness of a fair driver partnership.
Yeah, 100%. And to an extent, I get it.
Yeah.
Because Max is very young, Max is very talented, and Max is already a two-time world champion. And he's, you know, the best driver on the grid at the moment.
Yeah.
So I can completely understand it. It is just an awkward thing. And I think, you know, we'd love it if we could just see Perez and Max go at it. But like I said, I don't think Perez is quick enough.
Mm.
But if he is, you know, let's have it.
Do you think Red Bull will win every race this year?
Unless they have some form of technical failure, yes.
Do you know what I think is going to happen? I think it is going to get very hairy between Perez and Max.
Oh, if they have a nice crash.
I honestly think there'll be some sort of collision between these two this year.
Do you know why that would be perfect? Because that will be... That's the little earthquake that triggers a tsunami.
Multi-21, Seb. Multi-21.
I'd love to see another situation like that. I mean, Weber...
10 years. 10 years since that happened.
Weber hated
Vettel. Oh, yeah.
I could kind of... Well, no, I couldn't understand it. What he hated is that Vettel was better than
him. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He was so young and Weber was so experienced and he was probably just thinking, why is he faster? but, yeah, that would be perfect. Just... You know what would make it even better, actually?
Yeah.
If the crash doesn't take them both out, it's just Max it ruins Max's race, because I think that's when it gets really bad. If they crash and it ruins Perez's race.
Oh, and can you imagine at the end of the race, Max Verstappen is bowling down the pit lane, doing like a Michael Schumacher going after David Coulthard after they collided, yeah. And he's after Perez.
It'd be amazing.
That would be class.
That's, you know, if we're not going to get a title fight this season, as in like...
if we're not going to get a title fight, give us a proper fight.
Yeah. Give us a proper fight. No, but I mean, like, if we're not going to get like Aston Martin competing against the Red Bulls, at least give us Perez and Alonso. At least give us Perez and Verstappen going after each other.
I would actually be relatively content with that. If it came to the end of the season, we had a good battle between
them. If the battle between P2, P3, P4 heats up a little bit and Sergio and Max are going at it,
yeah,
I will be happy with that season. Yeah.
I just don't want it to be a walk, you know, a write-off after like race six where Max has just dominated, he's just walked away with it. But yeah, no, I generally think it is going to get a bit heated between those two. Because I don't think Perez at the moment, I don't think he's got anything to lose.
No, because this is his last and only chance of winning a world championship.
He will get another seat in a top 4 or 5 team come towards the end of his career. He'll get that.
Yeah, but I'm not even being funny, right? What is he, 34, 35 now? Win the world championship and just retire, mate. You've won the world championship. In doing so, you've beaten Max Verstappen. And just hang the boots up, mate. Go enjoy your life.
Yeah.
He's not going to be short of cash, let's be honest.
That's what Rosberg did. Beat Hamilton. He knew he beat the best. He was like, yeah, see you later, I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly. I think... At that stage, I still think Rosberg retired too early.
Oh, 100. I still think he had a good 2-3 seasons in him. But the interesting thing is, I just don't think he had the love for it. He always wanted to win a title because his dad did.
Yeah.
And for him, that's all he wanted. And
he said like Lewis drove him to the absolute edge, like where he was losing sleep over it.
Because that whole season was relentless. Like, although it was only between the two Mercedes drivers, you had everything. You had them coming together. You had the closeness in races. You had everything.
That's what I mean. I think we don't... You know, I can live with Red Bull running away with it for a season. Yeah. That, you know, that's fine. It's the nature of the sport. I'd love to see the other cars get out there, particularly Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton. But if they're fighting... I can deal with a season of that. That's good. That's entertainment.
Yeah.
And that's what the sport should be about. I don't know if you saw an article from Jeremy Clarkson. I only saw it because today it was all over Twitter in like his column and he'd written something about something. But in there was a little bit about F1. Mm. So like I read that bit and he basically...
Didn't know you could read?
Yeah, pretty well actually. So I got first in a law degree.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought you got 2-1.
he basically said, like, I guess he went to watch the race. Obviously, he was on the grid walk with Brundle.
Yeah, in Jeddah, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it's essentially saying, like, it's not really racing anymore. Because he was like, you know, just as Lewis Hamilton... was coming up to George Russell. George Russell simply just went faster. Mm. So he was like, why was he not just going as fast as he could anyway? And he was like, I understand it's about tyres and whatnot, but he's like, it's not really racing, is it, anymore? And he's like, you know, you've got the two cars at the front. It's just, it was like, the smallest little bit, but it was kind of like, I understood it a little bit.
Well, it's like in Bahrain, Red Bull only like, basically going 50%. They you know, they've still got so much more to do.
Let me see if I can find, because I just want to read it, because it was it did just make me think, like, yeah, it's not like the constant 100% push that you think of as a race, where it's like, I even think, like, you know, when we're playing the game, I'm going flat out the whole time.
Yeah.
So he was like, the title is, I want to see a race. We like to think that when the red lights go out at the beginning of a Formula One race, every single one of the drivers go around the corner and down every straight as fast as is humanly and mechanically possible. That's what racing is all about, surely. It seems not. When Lewis Hamilton came up behind his teammate, George Russell, in last weekend's Saudi Grand Prix, George solved the problem by driving more quickly. And they just said, why didn't he do that in the first place? And then you had the Red Bulls. To stop them from doing any racing, each of the drivers was told to do the same. So as in, like, lap at the same time so you don't end up racing each other.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. I know they're boring for reason. I know there are boring reasons for this, tyre wear and saving the engine and so on. But I wonder how many people would watch athletics if they thought half the competitors were not going as fast as they could to prolong the life of their shoes.
That's class.
I actually thought it was quite a good article. And,
that is a good point. Yeah.
And yeah, you know, I understand the boring reasons, but why are they not going as fast as they can the whole time? Shouldn't we make it so the cars are able to go as fast as they can the whole time?
Yeah.
Because then we will have more races on our hand.
It'd be more enjoyable, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Although Max would be three laps ahead.
Well, yeah, perhaps.
But at least you see the actual full effect. Do you know what I'd love to see back? Somebody discussed this the other day, which I saw a tweet. They said they should bring back refueling.
Yeah. The nice chance of a potential pit lane fire is always exciting.
Well, yeah. God, we
heard a man get doused in a...
No, not. I don't mean for that point of view.
Oh, no, neither.
No. What's wrong with you? But no, from a tactical point of view, you know, do you refuel? It was good fun in the past because you're like, you only fuel for this amount of laps, so you get hopefully quicker, so you can actually make it.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, well, he's catching him, but he might have a lot more fuel in. That might be why he's slower, so he can go for a lot longer. He's not going to need to pit again. He'll be able to preserve those tires. No, I rewatched, well, I think you're here, when I rewatched...
Silverstone.
Oh, no, I ended up watching Interlagos.
Oh, did you watch another one?
When Lewis won the championship. And yeah, like, just talking about all the refueling, I was thinking like, oh yeah, fuck, like, that really changed.
It changed everything. I liked it. And I think when you look at Formula One, change of tyres, different compounds and stuff, refueling, you know, the strategies, it was so much more fun back then compared to now. Like, okay, you can come in and you can go on hard and that will last you 40 laps.
And it's like, come in, the stop is going to be like 2.3 seconds on average. And, you know, we're so good. It's so easy. It's not so easy, but they make it look so easy. Yeah. And to them now it is second nature that, you know, we'll be flawless. You'll be in, you'll be out. And it's not going to affect the race at all because, you know, the next guy is going to come in. They'll probably smash his pit stop as well.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It's not like, some pit stops could take longer because they're putting more fuel in.
Yeah. Are they doing are they planning to do a two or three stop? Because are they going to put less fuel in for this stint?
Yeah. And then, you know, they're going to be quick around the track because they've got a lighter load, but they're going to have to pit again. Are they going to make that time? But they're then going to have fresher tyres. His tyres are going to be dying, but he doesn't need
to. It was good. It was so exciting.
It's because there was endless amount of strategies.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's very like, well, this is the fastest strategy. Just do this.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about the fuel loads or anything.
No, because you're basically, you know... Let us know at home. Would you prefer to bring back refueling? You know, you've got refueling. You've got another thing, which I really hope this year they change, is this whole thing of, well, it's too wet, we can't race. You know, back in the days, I used to watch people like Michael Schumacher, Damon Hill. They used to be out in that wet. I still remember Spa with the Jordan, Michael Schumacher going into the back of David Coulthard, going around on three wheels. Like, it was just...
Well, even when we were watching that Silverstone race from... It was 2008.
Yeah. Kovalainen and Kovalainen started on pole, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was Kovalainen, Hamilton started P4 and he came through.
Literally, like, yeah.
But do you remember? I mean, there was so many incidents. There was like, and I'm not saying I agree with this, but I'm just saying like, it was on the other end of the health and safety spectrum. There was actually like a crane on the track lifting a car up.
Yeah, and I don't agree with that stuff.
No, but I'm saying, and there wasn't yellows or anything. But now it's gone so far the other way that it's like, oh.
You've taken the whole excitement out of it.
Yeah, like the element of danger is inherent in the sport, right? Mm. And I'm not saying we should have cranes on the track with cars going full pace.
Yeah.
But these drivers are trained to drive under every circumstance. At, you know, they're not safe stepping in the car on a completely dry track.
No.
That, like, at no point are they safe in those cars. They're as safe as they can humanly be.
I just don't get why you have all these other compounds if you're not going to utilise them. Don't get me wrong, Monaco last year I can kind of get because the margin for error is very high going around the streets of Monaco.
You take out the weak drivers.
Well, Latifi goes round.
Kubica, that's not very fair, is it?
No, I want to say Latifi goes round and gets P1. Can you imagine? I don't know. I just think the fun has kind of gone from the sport. The strategies are a bit more clear cut. We can kind of work out what a good strategy is. Whereas before, it was kind of good because you kind of didn't really know what was going to happen.
Yeah,
I don't know. Would you bring back refilled and let us know?
I think that'd be a good addition to the sport.
Mm.
A good re-addition.
Yeah, bring it back. Right, in other news, Toto Wolff has...
Other news. Oh.
Obviously, we discussed earlier about what the car, you know, they think it's going to take 6 to 12 months before they can come back with, you know, and challenge Red Bull. Toto Wolff, I was meant to say this earlier, but did say it just needs to be the quickest possible race car. If that car looks like a Red Bull, I don't care. It just needs to be quick. If it's a Red Bull, we'll put a little ball somewhere with a sticker and I'll have no shame if it's quick.
Yeah.
It sounds like a man who is desperate now to get Mercedes back up the top.
That's fair enough. Do anything you can to produce the quickest car.
Spray paint it black.
Aston Martin did it.
Yeah. Well, it didn't end well, did it?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, this year it has. Last year it didn't. Do you remember when the green ball came in?
Yeah.
You were like...
It's very similar now. It has very similar characteristics.
Yeah. No, true. True that. Right, shall we... Do you want to quickly touch on Lewis Hamilton comments about, from Christian Horner?
Oh, so this week Christian Horner said, no, we wouldn't take Lewis Hamilton at Red Bull.
Bullshit.
I actually kind of think it's true, but I think it's because you couldn't have him and Max in the same team.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he would. He loves to talk down Lewis, but also they just couldn't afford him and Max. Let's be realistic. Yeah. What are you going to... Like, you'd be doing like 120 million on wages a year.
I'm glad you said million and not 120 quid, because...
Well, I thought people might have thought 1,000. They earn a lot more than that. But yeah, no, I don't know. It was and then that's when he went on to reiterate, we've got like a very happy partnership at the moment.
Rubbish.
Yeah, you don't. But that would be, watching Max and Lewis in the same car, that would be interesting.
What happens if Max went to Mercedes?
Well, that'd be nice, because then he'd slow down a little bit.
Right. Let us know. What do you think? Would Red Bull realistically take Lewis Hamilton, or do you think Christian Horner is actually telling the truth here and saying no, he doesn't fit into any part of their plans? Let us know. So let's talk about Australia, shall we? Obviously, this weekend, let me tell you, the practice is on Friday. Practice P1 is 2:30 till 3:30. You getting up for that?
Oh, in the morning?
Yep.
2:30 till 3:30.
Yeah.
No, I'm not waking up for that.
FP2, 6 till 7 a.m.
Yeah, I'll wake up for that.
Practice on a Saturday is 2:30 till 3:30. Qualifying is 6 a.m. till 7 a.m. on the Saturday.
I'll wake up for that.
And the race is 6 a.m., as we know.
Well, yeah, obviously I'll wake up for that.
Yeah.
Not doing that. 2:30.
Yeah, that is pretty... That's savage.
That's a ridiculous time, yeah, to be honest. Savage.
Let's see how good your knowledge is, shall we? Because...
Oh, and we just race around here as well.
We have. How many laps are there?
I'm trying to think like what the average time of like a lap is. It's not the longest track, but it's not as short as Brazil. I'm going to say 62 laps.
58. Lap record and held by who? It was, and I'll give you a clue. It was achieved last year.
So it's Charles Leclerc.
Yep.
And it is a 121.
120.2.
Oh, that was close.
That was good. And when was the first Grand Prix held?
Oh, Christ. 1972.
1996.
Oh,
yeah.
Later.
And DRS zones?
Oh, there's actually, they reduced it last year.
Yeah.
I want to say there's four.
Nope, two.
This year?
Two DRS zones.
No, so, they're bringing one back. There's three.
Well, I'm actually on the F1 website.
No, they're bringing a DRS zone back.
Well, I'm only going by what it says on the...
No. You're wrong.
I tell you what, the turns from 7, 8 down to 9 is probably one of my favourite parts of that track.
Melbourne is apparently going to have four DRS zones again for this year's race after testing during the weekend last year. Has anyone else known about this? Told you.
Well, I'm only, you know, if the F1 website, the official F1 website tells me this, I'm going to believe it.
Well, this is why you should get your news from Racecast, because we are more accurate. Yeah, look, so Melbourne is going to have four DRS zones. This is what I'm seeing online. Search it. Just search Melbourne DRS. I'll pull up the... I'm trying to see where they are. Oh, okay. So it's down the normal... You know the big straight before the chicaney bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to have DRS there. That's number... Well, that would be... I don't even know what zone that is. But yeah, that's one zone. Then literally, as you come out of the chicane, you're going to have another one there.
What?
Look, so after turn 10, you're going to have DRS there.
No, I get it. I typed in Melbourne DRS and I got man dies after being dropped at Casey Hospital in Melbourne with life-threatening injuries.
Well, that's not very cheery, is it? Why did they drop him at the hospital?
Oh, because it went DRS and it's changed to Melbourne Doctor.
Doctors. All right, so look, I'll make this very clear because I messed it up a little bit.
Okay.
So the first DRS zone is after turn two.
Yep.
So, you know, you've got the right-hander out of the pit straight, and then it's straight into the left-hander.
Yep.
You've got DRS up there. You've then got the big, like, windy back straight. That's DRS zone two.
Yep.
As you then do turn 9, turn 10 after that, the awkward chicane with the gravel, you've got DRS straight then. And then you've got a DRS down the pit straight.
Yeah.
So that is four zones.
Okay. I'll believe you then. I'll let you know that.
But there's only two detection zones.
That's where I got confused.
Yeah. So there's four places you can use DRS, but there's only two detection zones. So the detection zone, one, is just before you come onto the back straight.
Yeah.
But you then get it for that straight and then after the chicane. The detection zone is then just before turn 13, which is like the left-hander just before the pit lane.
Yep.
And then you'll have it down the pit straight. Then they've got to do turn 1, turn 2, and then they'll get DRS again down to turn 3.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is very weird. That is a weird... Do we like it, though? Is that too many? Like, is it going to become ineffective because... Well, but then I guess because...
Are you just going to have DRS trains?
Yeah, but because there's only two detection zones...
Yeah.
It could get really interesting because, you know, say coming down the pit straight, you're going to be able to get really close into turn one.
And then you'll have two opportunities.
And then you're going to have the next opportunity. It's not like it switches. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, they've overtaken me down the pit straight, but I'm then going to have it for the next.
Yeah.
It's like they're still going to have it. It could get interesting. I don't know. But it's going to be a bit of an unfair advantage for the Red Bulls, no? Given that their DRS is so packed. Not that they won't even use DRS.
Yeah.
Because they'll be at the front.
Well, they basically have DRS on top of what they're going anyway. Apparently, this year doesn't see any physical changes to the track. Obviously, last year they brought big changes with the removal of chicanes at turn 9 and 10, creating a flat out run from turn 6 through to sweeping turns 11 and 12, which I actually quite like. I actually think they've done well with that. But there isn't actually anything with major changes. Removal at the chicane last year was set to bring in a fourth DRS zone along the back of the circuit, which we've already discussed. But, I mean, the new DRS zone will be through with a flat out section between turn 6 and 11. It's actually one of my favourite parts of the track.
So there you go, four.
I like it. I only went by what it says on the website.
Detection zones, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, that's where my fault. But look, even here, I'll show you here. So you've got one here, one there.
Oh yeah, they're not showing the four.
They're not showing. Do you see?
Yeah.
Because it's down here, isn't it?
You know what?
That's the four.
So that's the new one they've added, which is between turn 8 and turn 9, which is like the sort of windy straight.
Yeah.
Which I know doesn't sound right, but it's like it's flat out, but it's windy. That is going to make the chicane after that very interesting.
Yeah. Obviously, turn 10 was where Carlos Sainz went off into the gravel last year.
Yeah.
So that is quite a... If you get that wrong, it is a bit of a nasty one, isn't it?
And it's going to be hard with the DRS because you're going to be taking so much speed into that corner that it might throw you off. And, yeah, we could see a lot of either corner cuts there or they end up taking too much speed and ending up in the gravel.
Yeah. Obviously, last year, Charles Leclerc led the race from start to finish. Quite a dominant display by him. Max Verstappen retired. And do you know what the podium was last year?
Ooh. Charles.
Yep. Well done.
Perez.
Yep.
George,
yeah. Obviously, George was on his, like, however many race being in top five starts, you know.
Well, it would have been three.
Well, no, he was on his, what I meant by that is he was on his role, yeah, whatever.
It's the third race of the season.
You're a dick. one of the big talking points from last year.
Yeah.
Do you know what, Al? The two big things. Sebastian Vettel on his little motorbike getting told off for not wearing a helmet.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one was Alex Albon picking up a point for Williams.
Oh, that was mega. With the one stop where... Well, it wasn't... Was it one stop?
It was a one stop, yeah.
Yeah, where he stopped on the last...
It was on... Yeah.
Well, the second to last lap. He couldn't do a Michael Schumacher.
No, and then still managed to get a point. Epic drive from him.
Well, it goes to show, like, you know, will teams think of that for this... Yeah.
It all depends on the, obviously with the compounds this year, do they have the same effect as, you know, that would be the interesting thing.
Yeah, because the tyres are obviously new again this year.
So it's going to be interesting. Finally, finishing off top three for this weekend's Australian Grand Prix.
Max, Checo, Alonso.
Okay, I'm going to go for Max, Perez... I'm going to go George.
Brave. Why?
I just think, obviously, George in Jeddah had a solid race. He goes under the radar. He does, you know, what he needs to do. I think those Mercedes are better than Ferrari.
I agree with that.
And, yeah, it's close between Alonso, but I think George... Yeah, I'm going for George on the podium. Let us know what your top three for this weekend's Australian Grand Prix. Comment down below.
I'd be surprised if that happens, but pleasantly surprised.
I'd be pleasantly surprised. But yeah, I can't see anything but Max and Checo dominance.
Quick little, it's not really trivia, but fun fact. Every driver that has made it to 101 podiums has won their 100. So like when they were on the podium for the 101st time, they won the race. If Fernando Alonso is on the podium this weekend, it will be 101. Is he going to win? I mean, I'm talking, you know, Hamilton, Seb, Schumacher, Prost.
All of them.
All of them P1 for their 101st podium.
I'm not sure I would see Alonso win and Max this weekend.
I don't know if I concur.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Right. That is the end of the podcast.
Do we have any questions?
I don't know.
Shall I find out? Yeah. Every week on Instagram, we ask, send us in your questions and we'll get round to them. We then answer them at the end of every podcast. And this is how it goes. Well, this is... Do you think Lewis will get his 8th title?
No.
You don't think he'll get number 8?
No. It pains me to say it, but I don't think he'll get his number 8.
Even though he should have number 8.
He should be an 8-time world champion anyway. We're not bitter about it. The reason why I don't think he will win it is because you've got... I just think the car is so far off. Unless he goes to... Unless, for example, Ferrari really improve this year and have a really competitive car and he goes to somewhere like Ferrari next year... I just don't think...
How are Ferrari going to improve more than Mercedes?
Well...
At this point, they're behind them.
Yeah, we're only 2 races in. I just don't think Mercedes, at this moment in time, are competitive. And although we're hearing that, in a year's time, I felt like we heard this time last year. Or I felt like we were hearing a lot of things from Mercedes last year that were giving us a lot of hope. Oh, we're bringing these upgrades, we're going to look really good. I just don't think at the moment I just can't see it. And that pains me to say. I'd love him to win his 8th title. I just think there's people on that grid who are a bit more competitive at this moment in time.
Well, I believe in him. Number 8 is coming. Just give it time. I've got another one for you, and this one's actually quite good. Of the rookies this season, let's include Joe and Sonoda as well. Who is going to have the most successful career? So we'll go out of Piastri, Sargent, De Vries, Joe, Sonoda.
Piastri and Sargent.
Yeah, I'd probably agree, actually, based on the small amount of information that we have seen, that's probably where my money would go.
I think Piastri has the talent. He just needs a competitive car. And I think Sargent has the pace. He just needs to familiarise himself with F1. He obviously showed in Jeddah his inexperience in qualifying. You know, he obviously got his lap time deleted in qualifying and then he had a couple more runs. He then made mistakes. But we know that this guy does have pace.
Yeah. No, I think he's looked pretty good. Because I really thought he was going to come in and he was going to be like the worst of the lot.
Yeah. We said this last year, didn't we?
But it surprised me that I actually think De Vries is...
Yeah.
But that's... I say that in comparatively to Sonoda because I know the car is really bad. So it's harsh to sort of like judge on that. He's coming to AlphaTauri who have, like Ferrari, taken steps back.
But you've got a little Williams still on the grid who still isn't great.
Yeah, but it looks better.
It looks, yeah, yeah.
But that, I'm saying, looking at Sonoda compared to Nyck de Vries, that's where I'm drawing the comparison from.
Yeah, they got a lot of pressure on their heads this year, those AlphaTauri drivers, because their team principal isn't, Franz Tost isn't.
Yeah, and obviously the guy in charge of them really is Helmut Marko.
So they're not going to hold back. They're not going to hold back at all.
And I think Piastri definitely showed his strength.
Yeah, I think he just needs a competitive car. It's like Lando, though, isn't it? It's like saying that.
And I think there's a reason that Alpine were willing to take him to court to get yeah, him to drive.
They know he's got something there. But yeah, that is the end of the podcast. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. Luke, have a good week.
Yeah, you too. You guys have a good
week. We shall see you 6 a.m. on Sunday. What's the date?
Oh, I think it's Sunday the 2nd of April.
2nd of April. Insta Live. Go and follow us over there and we will be doing our Insta Live at 6 a.m. Actually, it'd probably be a bit earlier, like 10 to 6, because we wouldn't just start at 6, would we? So yeah, come and join us. It'll be fun. Luke's making breakfast, loving it. And yeah, have a good week and we shall see you next week. Bye-bye.